read the Bible to be wise, believe the Bible to be safe, and practice the Bible to be holy. Woo! Hallelujah. What a way to begin. Woo! I love it.
Right out of the
Captain,
gate.
Captain Dan, Pastor Dan, I call him Captain Dan. He's with me today, and I love it. We're talking about the Bible. How reliable, how incredibly Amen. Reliable the Amen. Word of God is.
Amen.
And we are living in days that we need to believe the Bible.
Yes, God.
I mean, think about that. But Lord, thank you first for your word. To you be the praise, the glory, and the honor. Keep us as the apple of the eye. Hide us under the shadow of your wings in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
And thank you for being with me.
Amen.
It's going to be a glorious time today.
I believe that.
As we talk about the Word of God and how accurate the Word of God is, because prophecy is the proof that God's Word is God's Word.
This is kind of a little series on the how you're teaching these series of sessions.
Well, because...
Wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we wanted to talk prophecy today, and we are talking prophecy because the Word of God is the Word of prophecy. You know,
what good is prophecy if it's not reliable?
Exactly. I mean, the Bible today is coming to pass throughout the world. Woo! Everything that happens in Israel is prophetic.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of times we don't see it till it happens. Oh, my Lord, here it is.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
But the thing is what's happening now is preparing the world for Ezekiel 38. Mm-hmm. Quite simple, really. It's preparing the world for what's coming.
Yeah.
Because that has got to happen.
Yes, sir.
The Ezekiel 38 war will happen.
Yes, sir.
Because the Bible says so.
Yes, sir.
And it gives us the nations that will be aligned
That's right.
with Israel or against Israel. So this is happening now. So we'll deal with that some other time. We have to pray, of course, and we are all praying that God will intervene in the present situation and bring peace between both Jews and Arabs.
Yes.
Because they are God's people
yes.
on both sides. But we have got to understand there's evil too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the evil that God will intervene and stop. But let's talk about the reliability
I
of
love
the
it.
Bible.
I love it.
Okay?
I love it.
The Word of God is reliable. Think about what I said already on the last program. I want to say it again. Think about a book written, well, actually, a library of books, 66 books, written by 40 authors. Over 1,600 years on three continents in three languages. And when the Bible came together, it's one message is Jesus and the redemption and God's plan of redemption through his son.
With no what? Cell phones, no iPads, no communication.
And they did not know each other, most of them.
Ooh, my.
Think about if three people, just three, who did not know each other,
yes.
living at the same time, wrote one book.
Oh, and it no.
Impossible.
Oh, no.
No way.
No way.
Think about 66 books.
Wow.
Called the Bible. Think about 40 individuals. Think about 1,600 years.
Yeah.
That's going back 500 years before Columbus.
Yeah.
With a book that it was written and they just finished it.
Right.
And think about when the book came together, it was one message. And the message of the Bible is Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Thank you, God.
And only through him we are redeemed.
Thank you, God.
We experience redemption and salvation. Impossible for such a book to come together humanly.
That's right.
No way.
That's right.
So we are dealing with today the reliability of the Bible. Now let me add something here. Before we go into what we finished talking about from John and from the book of, and from the Psalms, God knew that individuals will question even the Bible, even the reliability of the Bible. They're going to question it because if you say with us, there's 2,500 prophecies and 2,000 have been fulfilled. Imagine that, 500 to be fulfilled. Yet in other books of other religions, there's zero prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is the only book with prophecy, 2,500 of them.
Right.
2,000 have been fulfilled in detail.
Yes.
Okay? But God knew that people would question that.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave us history.
Yes, sir.
You can walk into your library today and read enough material on Jesus that he came to earth,
mm-hmm.
died on a cross and rose from the dead. It's in your library, written by historians. Now, when I ask people this question, how many documents, historical documents out there, talk about Augustus Caesar? Nine. Okay. Less than 10. Yet people believe he existed. Mm-hmm. How many about the Lord? 39.
Isn't that something?
Wow. Yet a lot of those documents were written by atheists who became believers.
Mm. Wow.
So there is historical documents.
Yes, sir.
But God gives us more than that. Archaeology.
Wow.
You walk into Jerusalem today, the city of David especially, and other parts of the Holy Land, you can look at the Bible.
Yes, yeah.
You can touch the stones that the Bible talks about. I did. Mm-hmm. When they were digging for the stairs that went up from the Pool of Siloam to Temple Mount, I was there while they were digging. Mm-hmm. When they found those steps, I was there. So now archaeology, who can deny it? And the Bible has become the roadmap to archaeology in Israel. They use the Bible only now.
So the archaeology points to the truth.
Yeah, reliable.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Historical, so, archaeologically.
Prophecy, history, and archaeology.
Undeniable.
Totally undeniable. Proven.
Right.
Worth to die for.
Wow.
Yeah. The Bible. So in John 10, when the Jews questioned the Lord about a statement he made when he said he was the Son of God, he said, the scriptures say, your law says, the word of God says, and the minute he said the word of God says, he was giving us something powerful, that the Bible has no human origin, mm-hmm. that the Bible is not the product of time but eternity. Then he said in John 10, beginning at verse 34 through 36, which we already looked at in the last program, mm-hmm. he said, the scriptures cannot be broken, meaning
right.
that the Bible is not the product of time, but eternity. Mm. And the Lord went on to say something powerful.
Mm. That statement right there. Woo, it's not a product of,
well, it's
ooh, I'm
not
about
the
to
product.
Run around this room. My.
It's not the product of time. It's the product of eternity. Woo. And remember, Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, yes. your word is settled in heaven.
Mm. It's not the product of time. It's the product of eternity.
It cannot change.
Wow.
And the Bible, also the Bible tells us, in and this is where we stopped with the last program, is Matthew 24:35.
This is so
powerful.
The
Lord says, heaven and earth will
yes.
pass away, but my word will by no means pass
Hallelujah.
Away.
Hallelujah.
And now let's read Psalm 119, verse 160, please.
Psalm 119.
This is where we left off.
This is so
Psalm
powerful.
119, verse 160.
Because what is the purpose of prophecy if it can't be reliable?
Exactly.
160. Psalm 119, 160. Thy word is true from the beginning.
Yep.
And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever.
So today there are preachers who question parts of the Bible.
My.
Shame on them.
My.
Even the devil did not question the reliability of the Bible when Jesus said it is written. He believed
it. Yeah.
You know, this is to me is what it's so remarkable. The Lord accepted the authority of Scripture by saying it is written.
It is written.
What is remarkable is the devil did too. The devil accepted the reliability of the Bible when he did not, you know, deny it.
He knew.
He knew.
Yeah.
So since the devil accepts the reliability of the Bible, wow. shame on those that question.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
Exactly. So from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, every word is reliable. Now people say, well, you know, I found some contradictions. Oh, no, you haven't. You don't know what you're talking about. It's about translation, not contradictions.
It's about translation.
I read a scripture when Absalom had said, it says that Absalom was gone to Hebron 40 years, Arba'im, 40. And I asked my professor, I said, how could it say Arba'im when we know that the whole kingdom of David only lasted 40 years? She said, well, that is a translation from the Hebrew. Because the Hebrew Bible, see, I didn't know that myself till I took Hebrew. I studied Hebrew at Hebrew University online. I signed up and I was in the class for 3 years and I passed. Good. Marvelously,
sure.
My ass. Sure. And I know Hebrew now way better than most people probably on the planet, especially in the church, because I'm from there, and I also went to Hebrew University.
Right.
So she said, what you're reading is the Greek translation, the Hebrew from the Greek, the Septuagint. She said, but the actual first written book of the Bible, you have to download and pay for it. I said, well, I'm ready. Let's please send it to me. So I got it. And there it says Arba'ah, not Arba'im. Four rather than 40. So it's the translation. The problem is the translation.
Not a contradiction.
Never. There's no contradictions in the Bible. It's only mistranslations.
See, you just set people free right there.
No, because that's a fact. Because the Bible was copied because of the Greek culture.
Right, yeah.
It was copied from the original Hebrew to Greek.
That's right.
And all Bibles past that are copies of the Greek Hebrew. Okay? So you have to go to the first book of the Bible. And that you can get through Hebrew University, and I did.
So when people say, because I've heard them say that, contradiction, it's not a contradiction, it's a translation.
Totally.
That's
But anyway, the Bible is reliable.
Yeah.
Okay? And people sometimes, they mess up things like, well, Jesus was, he healed Bartimaeus while he was leaving Jericho, and another gospel says, well, he's walking into Jericho. What they don't know is that there were two Jerichos in those days. He was coming out of one, going to the other.
Oh.
That's a fact.
Too. I did not know that.
There were two Jerichos.
I did not know that.
So when you read in one gospel, Jesus coming out and Bartimaeus crying, and then he's coming in and Bartimaeus crying, so people say, well, there's a problem. No, there's no problem. Two Jerichos coming in and coming out, coming in. So one gospel showing him coming out, the other showing him coming in, quite simple. It solved your problem.
Oh, wow.
Because people don't know history.
Yeah.
And they don't know the Holy Land, and I do.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. So when you know it, it clears everything.
Yeah.
No contradiction, just mistranslations or whatever, things like that. All right, now, so let's just go. Matthew chapter 5. I want you to look at this. This is so powerful. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord
Matthew
Jesus.
5, verse 17 and 18.
My mind.
I love having him around. I really love having this man around.
I love that you love the word, Pastor Benny.
Well, and you do too. You
I
do
know
too.
Our time is limited.
Let's go. Matthew 5, 17, 18.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
A jot is the smallest letter of the alphabet, like the yod. And a tittle, by the way, is like a little curl. Sometimes you'll see it in the Hebrew Bible. I was studying Hebrew with my amazing professor, Segal Zohar, and I saw a dot in the center of a letter. Uh-huh. In Hebrew, at the end of the word, there's the dot.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, why is it in there? Oh, she said, this brings in the owner. I said, what? Tell me that again. Well, she said, if you ever see that dot in the middle of a letter,
okay,
and let's say you saw the word Seuss for horse, and you saw the dot, it's his horse.
Oh,
it brings the
ownership.
Owner of the horse with the dot. So that's why Jesus said, you can't even remove a dot, because it changes the whole meaning.
Okay? Oh, wow.
Yeah. So a tittle is a small little comma or a small little dot because it changes the meaning.
Wow.
So that dot is more powerful than the whole universe. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. Not even one little yod, not even one jot or one dot.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
But now we have to understand, we don't have much time, but I'm going to give you this. Let's go. To 2 Timothy 3:16. Yay! Hallelujah.
Jesus, hallelujah.
How can you not get excited?
I'm telling you.
Okay,
my.
2 Timothy 3:16. It's very powerful because The Bible, the whole Bible, we just read the entirety of your word. The entirety means all the New Testament. All the New Testament, okay?
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16, which I'm sure you know by heart.
All scripture. Oh, yes. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, 21, please. 2 Peter 1, 20, 21.
I love
this. Because I want to show you from the Bible how reliable the whole Bible is, okay? 2 Peter chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
Verse 20 and 21.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Let me see, we just read earlier, it's by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now Peter adds and says,
for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man.
Notice that he's reading, he's saying prophecy, meaning the Bible itself, the prophecy of scripture, he calls it. So let's go ahead.
For the prophecy, because you said before it's called the word of prophecy.
Yeah.
For the prophecy, meaning this,
yep,
came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
That's it. Now let's go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
Verse 1 and verse 2. And notice how he covers both Old and New Testament in that portion.
This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets.
Aha. Now, when he says holy prophets, he means Old Testament.
Okay.
And by?
And of the commandments of us.
The apostles.
The apostles of the Lord and
Savior.
New
Testament.
Ah.
So you got to read that now, but read it slowly one more time.
That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets.
Old Covenant.
Old Testament. Old Covenant. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord
new
and Savior.
New Testament.
Wow.
So now he includes both old and new.
Yes, sir.
As scripture.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Be mindful. One more time. Read the whole thing.
That ye may be mindful.
Read verse 1 and verse 2.
The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Old. And of the commandment of us by the apostles of the Lord and Savior. New.
An apostle?
Yeah.
Keep reading.
Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers,
yeah,
walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming?
So what he's saying is, both Old Testament and New Testament talk about the coming of the Lord. But there'll be scoffers.
He tied it together.
Yeah, he tied it together. Now, let's go to 2 Peter 3, because people question the epistles of Paul. Let me show you that the epistles of Paul also are scripture. 2 Peter 3, verse 15 and 16.
And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest,
as they do also all other scriptures,
unto their own destruction.
So that is saying to me and you, the epistles of Paul are scriptures. Now let me show you something powerful. Let's go to 2 Peter 1. We're going to have, it looks like we're going to have to continue this one too.
Oh my.
But this is probably one of the most powerful things I'm going to show you right now. 2 Peter 1,
yes,
16
sir.
Through 19.
Yes, sir. For we have not followed cunningly, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Keep going.
But were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Now watch what he says here now. Go on.
And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount.
Now wait. So he's talking about when they saw the glory of the Lord.
Right.
But then he says there's something more important than what we saw.
Ooh.
keep going.
We have also a more sure word.
Wait. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, which means that the word of prophecy is more powerful than the vision they saw.
Woo!
Shall I say it again?
Yes, the word of prophecy.
The word of God is more important and powerful than the vision that they had. He said, we saw Jesus transfigured. We saw the glory of God. We heard the voice of God come from glory. Yet we have a more sure word of prophecy. Meaning the Bible is more powerful than the vision they had when Jesus was transfigured.
Can you imagine?
Read that again.
How? I didn't put that together like that.
Well, that's because you read so fast, I got to slow you down.
Yes, sir. I know. It's a Chicago thing. We have
Chicago thing. Okay.
We have also, that's powerful.
Read the whole thing. Start with verse 16.
For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
He said, we heard God say he's his Son.
Yeah.
We heard it.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy.
Meaning the Bible is more powerful than what they saw. That you should take heed.
Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts.
He says, pay attention to the Bible, because it's that light that will shine in darkness until the coming of the Lord.
That's what the more sure word of prophecy is.
Yeah.
More sure than even the vision that we've
More
seen.
Sure than what they... More sure than them hearing God say, this is my Son.
Wow.
The Bible is more powerful than experience. That's why Jesus used the Bible against the devil, not experience.
The Bible is more powerful than experience.
Well, Jesus, okay, he's in the River Jordan being baptized. God speaks, this is my Son, right?
Yes, sir.
A few days later, the devil comes and says, if you're the Son of God.
If.
Jesus could have said, hey, didn't you hear God say I'm his Son?
Yes, sir.
But he didn't say that.
Yes, sir.
He said, it is written. Showing us, and this showing us, that the Bible is more powerful than our experience.
It is written is more powerful.
It is written is more powerful than any experience we've ever had in the Spirit.
Whew. My.
Think about that, what I just said.
I can hardly take no that more. I can hardly take
that
no
the
more.
Lord who heard the voice of God, and the devil is questioning now if Jesus is the Son of God. And he says, it is written. He didn't say, hey, weren't you there? Didn't you hear God say I am? He didn't say that because you cannot defeat the devil with experience.
Only with the word.
Only with the word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Only with the Bible. It's time to know the Bible.
Amen.
It's time to know the word.
Oh, my.
Okay, with that, we got to stop and continue.
Oh,
Lord,
my.
Thank you for your blessed word. To you be
thank
the glory.
You,
thank you for the gift, Lord, you've given us. Thank you for your word that you've given to us. We give you the praise. Now you wonder why they tried to kill those who gave us the Bible.
Yeah.
And they killed some of them, like William Tyndale and others. See how Satan has fought over the ages to destroy the Bible, knowing what it would do in our lives. The Bible is the indestructible. You cannot destroy the Bible. Indestructible book. You cannot destroy it because it's the word of God.
It will come to pass.
Always. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. It's what the Lord said. Thank you, Lord, for your blessed word. Touch your people, Lord. Give them a hunger in their hearts they've never known for your word. We give you all the praise. And God's people said, amen. All right, it's time to give.
Amen.
It's time to sow seed in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
And it's more important to sow seed. Why don't you talk to them?
If that word is as... If it's a more sure word of prophecy, than even what they heard, that the word, that the devil, you heard what Pastor Benny just taught, that even the devil realizes the word of God, it must come.
But why is giving important now?
So if that, if that word is that powerful, what do you think it would be? Do you think it would be any less powerful when it comes to the man?
Tell him.
He gives seed to the sower. Every time I read that scripture that God gives seed to the sower, I hear people misinterpret it like God gives seed to the Christian. God gives seed to the sower. It's not automatic that God gives seed just to the Christian. He gives seed to the sower. And if the word of God is the sure word of prophecy, then you know it's going to come to pass. He gives seed to the sower.
And he said, if we give, we receive. If we sow, we reap.
And it's a sure word of prophecy.
It's a sure word.
So I'm telling you, this is the moment right now. I feel this.
Tell us.
I feel this. I'm telling you, this is the moment. Go online. It's right there on your screen. You can sense it. You can sense it. This is a prophetic moment that right now, so into the realness of the eternal truth of God's word that it is timeless. And thanking God for men like Pastor Benny that is taking the word of God all around the world. The gospel is free, but it costs to do it. Right now, please sow that seed. God gives seed to the sower. And the word of God being so true as it is, it will come to pass in your life.
So the informator is on the screen. And yes. Share this with your friends. Amen. Share this with your friends. And the more you sow, the more you reap. And I think Amen. In this day of danger, I think we need to increase our seed, to increase our
yes.
harvest.
Oh, yes.
How we need protection from the disasters that are coming
I'm
to the planet.
You.
One war can cripple the economies of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not the believer.
Amen.
We have his promise. I've not seen the righteous forsaken or received begging for bread.
And that's a sure word.
That's a sure word. So do it today. Lord, bless them as they sow in Jesus' holy name. We give you the praise. Amen. Amen. And I'll see you
Amen.
Again.
Bye-bye. Amen. Amen.